It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket with your host, Dr. Tio Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 888-787-1310.
Dr. Tio Soriao. And that was very insightful.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel and the gang here. I can't wait till we're all in the studio. Just can't wait. So much more fun when we're all sitting across from each other and chatting it up.
And Kareem brings breakfast.
Although those days are going to be gone soon. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel live in the studio, episode 800. We probably should have had a celebration, but we didn't. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. We know that 6 a.m. starts kind of a big deal for a lot of you, but I'm always surprised and I'm always pleased by the number of avid listeners. Thank you. Could not be more grateful. So before the break, and I've actually been teasing this the entire show, we just went through a situation in the world of professional tennis with Naomi Osaka, the number 2 ranked player in the world, pulling out of the French Open. Is Scott on the phone? Is Scott with us? All right, so
I'm here.
Hey, Scott. So Scott Burkhart, neuropsychologist at the Children's Health Andrews Institute, has been on the show before. Scott, let me set this up because I kind of want your input on this as well. Well, the situation was she pulled out because she declined to go to the mandatory post match press conference. And she was fined by the French Tennis Federation, and then the rest of the Big Four tennis tournaments, Australian Open, the U.S. Open, and Wimbledon, they all kind of chimed in and saying, hey, this is an obligation. You have to do it. If you don't do it, it's a breach, and you may be suspended. They came down pretty hard on her, and she released a statement basically saying that she has had long bouts of anxiety and depression and that the media sessions caused her tremendous anxiety and that's why she declined and she pulled out of the French Open. Hopefully I was able to summarize that. But it brought to light and she's since had tremendous support from athletes at every level in every sport saying, hey, me too. I've struggled with this as well. And I personally have struggled with some social anxiety issues, but that's my own problem. And I suspect that some of that anxiety is to be expected, but when it gets to the point where it impacts, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but that's why I asked an expert. I asked Scott if he wouldn't mind coming on the show. Scott, we all know it exists. Can you give us an idea of how common this is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing it really make a surge in amateur sports, especially, right? You see so many major college institutions introducing behavioral health programs, you know, along with their nutrition and, you know, bringing in full-time psychologists. It's really a movement to help improve daily athlete functioning and, you know, looking outside the bigger, faster, stronger bottle, right? And just injury prevention and looking more, you know, neck up, which is never a bad thing. I think it's taken us a little bit longer than it probably should have to get here, right?
So my question is, and I'm old school. I remember my coaches saying, "Well, that's normal. That's normal." At what point is it normal? At what point is it not normal?
You know, I think you bring up a really interesting point because at the core of this And one of the things there's been a lot of research on, you know, in the sports psychology world, is this idea of athletic identity. And, you know, in the same way that we see ourselves as professionals or family members, when you become an athlete, you have this athletic identity. We've even seen athletes struggle to complete or finish out careers because it's a threat to this identity. You don't invest that much time into a sport and not have that become part of you. But the second layer to athletic identity is the fact that these athletes are looking for acknowledgement in other people of that role, positive and negative. And I think for someone like Naomi, that even gets compounded when you're talking about an individual sport where she may only have a very small team of people around her. Golf is the same thing. You know, there's been golfers that have come out and had very strong opinions on, you know, swimmers as well, Michael Phelps. You know, when your team is a very relatively small group of people around you, you need more of that acknowledgement from others, maybe even at a bigger level.
So what do we do as medical professionals? What do we do as moms and dads to recognize, hey, wait a second, there's something going on here. How do we recognize this short of, look, Naomi's 23, and I give her tremendous credit for bringing this onto the global stage. But a 14-year-old is not going to do that. They're not going to come talk to mom and dad and say, hey, I've got anxiety or I've got – they're not. How do we recognize this?
No, I think that's a great point. You're absolutely right. This is not just a sports problem. This is a, you know, bigger population problem. And, you know, we notice, I think, by as simplistic as this may sound, having that human connection with people, you know, taking the extra time and steps and, you know, us as medical professionals, can we, you know, ask, I'm sure you guys do a great job, right? You and Ballard and Scott, you know, I mean, taking a little extra time to just have another question and say, hey, you know, how's everything mood-wise, you know, stress-wise? I know I do it in my clinic with patients every day. And then having, I think, the most important thing is the resources for people around you. I'm incredibly fortunate with, you know, our situation at Andrews up in Plano, where we've got, you know, behavioral health counselors that are there to see patients immediately. And so it's one thing to ask the question. I think it's to your point, it's the second one to have the resources available and then be able to connect the dots on how to get people to those resources, because it's a very real problem. You know, it's something that we're all dealing with. And shoot, even coming out of this global pandemic, we've seen more anxiety, more depression, you know, with what we've gone through the last 18 months has only perpetuated and made some of these problems even more glaring.
Well, I definitely think, well, for sure the pandemic, but I definitely think social media has played a big role in accentuating the problem. It's not making it better. It's making it worse, because now you've got folks on social media who can criticize without really having any kind of penalty. I'm not a social media person. I don't have, was it Instagram?
Instagram.
I don't have any of that sort of thing. So, and I'm very sensitive to criticism. All my friends
you
know
would not,
it.
You would not do well. I follow a lot of sports commentators, you know, on social media. And when you hear the things that people, I mean, like there's a female sports person who I think is just incredibly intelligent. And like there are people calling her fat. And she's not. But I mean, it's like real personal stuff that has, you know, that whole veil of anonymity. Is an awful situation.
I wouldn't do well with that. But I'm trying to understand how anybody could do well with that. How does a 14 or 15-year-old girl tennis player wrap her head around people in saying nothing about her tennis, but talking about her outfit or
pro athletes, you know. You know, get, like some, you can tell some pro athletes have very thin skin because they'll engage these anonymous people. I mean, I think Kevin Durant kind of gets into it a little bit too much, and he's been criticized by others. Just like this, don't look at it. Don't. Yeah. I mean, it's not relevant.
Our guest today, in addition to the gang, is Scott Burkhart, a neuropsychologist at the Children's Health Andrews Institute, and Scott has been on the show before. Scott, what do you tell your athletes? How do you tell your athletes to face or address the social media aspect of what they do? You just tell them, hey, quit reading this stuff, or what do you do?
No, and I mean, that's a great point, because what you and Scott were just talking about, right? I mean, it's so much about where people are looking for that acknowledgement. You know, if you're not getting it from other people, you may go to social media to look at it. And, you know, to that point, you know, that I think that Scott was making, like, it's not a good place. You know, the social media is a microcosm of a lot of the negativity in this world. And a lot of people say a lot of things behind keyboards and, you know, phones that probably wouldn't get said in public. I think that's even to bring this full circle why you saw Naomi withdraw. I mean, that was what she had in her control to protect herself. And so rather than go and face the criticism, and she's been outward before about, you know, hey, when you come off the court after a loss, like, I don't always want to sit there and talk to you about how terrible I just played. But that's what the media is pushing for, right? That's what the answers are looking for, and that's what the dialogue is, hey, in this moment of vulnerability, talk to me. I mean, we saw it last night with Luka. Like, Luka handles it pretty well. You know, Kawhi just beat him in the fourth quarter, but what does every reporter want to do the second he gets out of the locker room? They want to talk to him about what Kawhi just did out there. And he probably doesn't want to talk about that. And so I think in this situation, you saw Naomi take herself out of it in order to protect herself, which is, you know, what she had control over, and ultimately led to her even pulling out of the tournament, because she, you know, I don't think her intention was to make it about herself. I think it was, if you read kind of some of her comments, they seem genuine. I think she was trying to protect herself.
So we have to go on a quick break. And if you don't mind, just hang on with us through the break, and we'll hit you up on the other side. But I want you to think about a couple things. What do we tell moms and dads in terms of what to look for? And what do we tell athletes in terms of how we deal with it? Obviously, there are resources, and yes, we'll, you know, hopefully if anybody reaches out to us, we'll get you plugged in with the resources. But how do we recognize it, and how should the youngsters deal with it? And it doesn't have to be high school or teenagers. It could be even pros. Quick little break. This is Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel coming back.